It can sound like a cliche to point out that humans are connected to the living world around them, but new water testing in Milwaukee is proving just that. Over the Thanksgiving holiday, scientists and volunteers sampled water in three Milwaukee area rivers. They're testing for things like vanilla and cinnamon, but also ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and caffeine. Some of the results are still forthcoming, but amounts of household drugs and other substances are showing up in the water samples.
Our next guest is working to test those samples. Todd Miller joins us now. He's an associate professor in the Zilber School of Public Health at UW-Milwaukee. Todd, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, Veronica. Happy to be here.
Well, Todd, how do substances like caffeine and ibuprofen end up in, for instance, Milwaukee's rivers, the three you tested?
Sure. There's a variety of ways. First off, wastewater is a major source of these compounds in our waterways. Generally speaking, wastewater treatment does remove many of these compounds, but some of them make it through and end up in Lake Michigan and other waterways. The other thing is that Milwaukee, like some other cities, have combined sewers that carry both rainwater runoff from the roadways as well as sewage. And during heavy rainstorms, some of those pipes can get backed up, and raw sewage rainwater mixture ends up going into the local waterways.
When you tested these rivers, which ones did you decide to focus on?
Well, we focused on the three major rivers in Milwaukee, the Menominee, Kinnickinnick, and Milwaukee River. And we had done some previous testing with a student group in the Milwaukee River in collaboration with the Urban Ecology Center a few years ago. And to our surprise, we found a variety of different pharmaceuticals as well as personal care products that people use in their homes every day.
You know, I suppose we think of those things as pretty separate. If I'm, you know, taking some ibuprofen, for instance, at home, I don't think about it as something that's going to end up in the river. So is the point of your testing that there is this link between the substances we take in our daily lives and the health of the water?
Yeah, this project, which, by the way, is funded by the Fund for Lake Michigan, is a great collaboration between university scientists and our community engagement partners, the Urban Ecology Center and Milwaukee Riverkeeper. And our real interest is building awareness that, you know, human behaviors and our choices do impact the local waterways. If I give you a good example is caffeine. I know that any day I can go out to Lake Michigan or the local rivers, take a water sample, analyze it, and 99% of the time I'm going to find caffeine. And that's just simply because people drink caffeinated beverages every day, and they typically don't take a break. And the same is true for, you know, drugs that you consume every day, such as Lipitor, cholesterol-lowering drugs. You have to take those every day. You don't stop. Therefore, we see this co-occurrence of, you know, caffeine and these cholesterol-lowering drugs at the same time. And if you just stay on the addictive track with caffeine, we also see things like cocaine show up in the waterways. So what I like to say is that the chemistry of local waterways really do reflect the human behaviors and choices that people make in the surrounding community.
Well, so to be frank about it, you're saying, you know, human beings imbibe a lot of these substances you're talking about, and then we pee them out and they end up in the water?
That's correct. And, of course, the other avenue for these things to end up in the water is flushing pharmaceuticals down the toilet, which is a large load of pharmaceutical waste that the wastewater treatment plants typically can't handle, and they go right into the waterways. And there's also sewage line breaks occasionally that happen, and as I mentioned, the combined sewers.
So, you know, most people are not willing to give up, for instance, their daily cup or two or three of coffee. So how do we keep the caffeine out of the water?
Right. This is a huge area of study. One improvement that's been made in Milwaukee is our deep tunnel project, which has reduced the amount of this rainwater sewage mixture that's gone into the lake. The other way is reducing runoff from rainwater. So we have projects that try to reduce the amount of water from rain that goes directly into the lake or the rivers, either using bioswales or rain gardens or rain barrels. And that can help cut down on these things. Certainly, we're not coming up with legislation to stop people from consuming legal substances like caffeine, but we do want people not to flush their drugs down the toilet. And recently, some personal care product active substances such as the antimicrobials triclosan and triclocarban have been banned for usage. So those will be coming off the market soon.
And I know there's been some concern about some substances, and I think these would be usually medications as being endocrine disruptors, which could interfere with maybe the fish that are in the rivers.
Yes, there is some research that shows that these endocrine disruptors can cause sex changes in fish. But as it stands right now, the majority of the chemicals, the pharmaceuticals that we find, are at fairly low levels. And this is really sort of an emerging field in toxicology studies to assess this really complex mixture of pharmaceuticals and other compounds and how they might impact, like you say, the development of fish.
Todd Miller is with us right now. He's an associate professor in the Zilber School of Public Health at UW-Milwaukee, and he's talking with us about testing Milwaukee's rivers as an indicator of water quality. And Todd, around Thanksgiving, volunteers and scientists went out and they tested Milwaukee rivers before Thanksgiving and after Thanksgiving. And these research results are not in yet, but some of the things you were looking at there, vanilla and cinnamon. So is this likely to have shown up in the water around the holidays?
Well, other studies out west have shown similar things with regards to Thanksgiving and holidays. And it goes back to the idea of human behavior. Our behavior changes drastically around the holidays. You consume more, you eat more, you drink more, and you consume specialty things that you don't normally consume. You know, just this past weekend, my wife and I got out the recipes for Christmas cookies, and you're using ingredients in large quantities you might have not used before throughout the year, such as nutmeg, cinnamon, cloves, and those are likely to show up in the waterways after the holidays.
Now, vanilla and cinnamon, I don't imagine, are worrisome, and you listed some that are maybe higher up on the list. Which ones in particular are you most concerned about in terms of the health of the water?
Well, I wouldn't say that we're concerned about cinnamon or nutmeg compounds being harmful. It's likely they get diluted out quite a bit. This is really just to provide an example for the community of how their behaviors do cause changes in water quality and the chemistry of the local waterways.
You mentioned earlier on a substance that was some sort of compound in cocaine, something like that. Is that the kind of thing that we just need to be aware of? Is it in such small amounts, or is this something that even in small amounts maybe could have an impact?
Any particular compound alone, such as there's a human metabolite of cocaine. We don't pee out cocaine, but we pee out a metabolite of it. Any of those compounds alone are likely to be in low enough concentrations to not cause problems, but it's really the additive effect of all of the compounds together. So, for example, there's many antibiotics we can detect in the environment, but each one of them is at fairly low concentrations. However, if you add them all up and their net effects, they may promote, for example, antibiotic resistance.
What is your sense of the health of the three rivers that you tested, not just based on this study, but what you know overall? How are they doing?
They have improved. Obviously, throughout the years, we've gotten a lot smarter about how we treat our wastewater and our industrial waste. Wastewater has probably been one of the largest sources of contamination of these rivers, and our wastewater treatment plants are now some of the best in the nation. So with that respect, they're much better. We do have issues with heavy metals, and we still use coal, obviously, in some places. There's coal piles that are sources of heavy metals and dioxins, as well as there's just these legacy contaminants that haven't gone away, such as the dioxins and PCBs. But overall, things have gotten a lot better.
Now, we're talking about three of Milwaukee's rivers, but ultimately, do the chemicals that you're talking about, do they wind up in Lake Michigan?
Yes, and we have lots of data showing the presence of these chemicals in Lake Michigan. However, the mixture changes as you go from upstream, downstream. Not all of these chemicals make it into the lake. Some of them are what we call hydrophobic, and they like to bind to other substances and then precipitate out, so they tend to stay up in the river, whereas others are more water-soluble and make it far out into Lake Michigan. One of those is metformin, which is a diabetic drug, and that's another one that we can detect on almost any day of the year, both in the river as well as in Lake Michigan.
Now, you mentioned that people should not flush their medications down the toilet. That's not the right way to do it. Are there other things that people can do if they want to help and they're listening to you now?
Yeah, I think one of the things that over the last, gosh, it's been almost a decade of policy decisions making is the use of antibacterial hand soaps and detergents. Much research has shown that regular old soap and hand washing is perfectly fine. The other source of potential hazardous chemicals are pesticides and herbicides, and how you dispose of those. Those need to be disposed of by a hazardous waste center and not put in your regular trash. I mentioned controls on rainwater runoff. Controlling runoff will prevent a lot of these chemicals from going directly into our waterways. And then, of course, the flushing of these substances down the toilet.
We leave it there. Todd, thanks a lot for joining us.
You bet.
That was Todd Miller, an associate professor in the Zilber School of Public Health at UW-Milwaukee. His research focuses on the distribution of natural and anthropogenic chemicals in lakes, drinking water, and wastewater. And he joined us there to talk about testing Milwaukee's rivers as an indicator of water quality.